Well, Merry Christmas to you all. So good to be with you on this beautiful evening. I have a question for you. What do you do to prepare for company that is coming to visit? Think about that for a minute. If you're like me, it might depend on who the company is. If you're welcoming some dear friends or relatives from a distant place who are coming to stay, boy, you might make a lot of preparations. You might look to kind of do a deep cleaning of the house, especially the bathrooms. If you have a guest room that's available, you may go in and make sure that there's fresh linens on the bed, that there's fresh towels and things put out in the guest bathroom. You might think about special beverages or things that your friends would love to enjoy with you. You make everything up nice for them to arrive. Now, if these are more like casual friends or people that you've just come to know from the neighborhood, you might make it a little bit less extensive. You know, you just kind of run a quick broom across the floor in the kitchen. You make sure that there isn't too much sitting on top of any of the chairs. And anything that's left over, you just kind of shove into a closet or under a bed somewhere. Or it could be like, you know, my brother's coming over, which is like, you're just going to get what you get. I'm teasing because my brother has been amongst the most hospitable to me and my family. For many years when we were serving down in Sioux City, Iowa, we had to drive up here, a five-hour drive over Thanksgiving and over Christmas time right after each of those holiday celebrations. We come up north and my brother and sister-in-law would open up their home for me and my whole family to be able to stay with them for an extended stay over a few nights. It was wonderful. But think about this for a minute. What if instead of a relative or a close friend, what if a king were coming to your home? Like the king of Norway. Ja, vi dette landet. If you don't know that, that's the opening line to the Norwegian national anthem for those of you who aren't privileged enough to be Norwegian. I mean, if he were coming to my home and going to stay, my goodness, there would be preparations to make. I mean, talk about a deep clean. We would clean everything. We would probably buy new sheets and make sure that they were of the finest cloth and ready for him. We'd make sure that there were fresh towels, new towels. We'd break out the best china for the meals that we'd be having. We'd try to find out if there were any dietary needs, and we'd make sure that there was room in the refrigerator. We would roll out the red carpet, do whatever was necessary. It's a king, after all, who is coming to your home. It's kind of a big deal. Well, 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was born in a small town of Bethlehem in Judea. And he was not expected, and they were not prepared. As the story goes, Mary and Joseph were making their way to Bethlehem for the census, and when they got there, some translations will say that they visited an inn to see if there was availability, and there was no room in that inn, but somebody said there was a stable out back, and so that's where we've kind of got this image of a stable and a manger out under a star in an open field. Probably not historically accurate. You see, a translation that you just heard tonight is that it was a guest room. And the guest room was full. And this would line up more with what would likely happen. Mary and Joseph showing up in the town of David's family, of Joseph's family, I should say. And they're coming to stay somewhere, and every place is full. They show up at a relative's home, and there's Mary, 9 months pregnant, probably already in labor. And they open the door and go, oh, my goodness, every square inch of the home is full. The guest room is even full. So what are they to do? Well, the only space that might be available is on the main floor. And it's a level, an area that would be shared often by the animals, because the animals were kind of free to come and go, and especially in the evening cold or cool times of the year or rain, they would come inside to stay inside. So there in that space, Mary and Joseph have to make room. There's no cradle. There's just a feeding trough. There's no fine linens or royal sheets or Egyptian cotton. There's just straw and hay and other animal byproducts. And there, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is born. If this were any other king, we would assume that something has gone terribly wrong. But in this case, in the case of King Jesus, this is exactly what the story is meant to show us and tell us. You see, this king doesn't need to wait for ideal circumstances. This king doesn't need perfect accommodations. This king doesn't need a separate private room to stay at a distance. This king is the Son of God. This king is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And God desires to come close. He wants to come close and is born right in to the messiness and busyness and fullness of that home. It says in the Gospel of John that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It literally means God moved into the neighborhood and made himself at home with all there was to have. The King of Heaven chooses closeness over comfort. And that would play out over and over again in his life. Because you see, the manger doesn't just show up as an incidental, accidental, trivial part of the story. It actually is a declaration of who God is. It's a revelation, and it says something powerful about God. It says God isn't afraid of the mess. God isn't concerned about the accommodations. God isn't offended by the busyness of our lives or the things that are around us and distract us in everyday life. God is not expecting perfection. He is not looking for you to work for him to make some place right for him. Instead, he comes to make things right for you. It's a totally different way of seeing God and of God seeing us. He moves right in to our messy, busy, broken, distracted lives. Why? Because that's what grace does. That's what love is. When the Gospel of John 3:16, one that we are all very familiar with, says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life." When it says, "For God so loved the world," it means God loves your world, your real world, your messy world, your broken world, because God thinks the world of you. That's the motivation. That's God's heart, is to come and show up right in the midst of all of those places, those dark places, those broken places, those wounded places, those difficult places in our lives. He chooses to show up there, to show us how much he loves us and so much more. Now, on an evening like tonight, when we put on our Christmas best, when we've maybe got a meal waiting for us at home, we've got all the decorations hung and everything's ready to go, but we think about our lives and the God who would come to love us, we might pause and say, you know what? This God wouldn't get that close to my life. It's been too long. It's just too late. There's no way this God would want to make his presence known around me. It's not too late. It's never too late. Every year around Advent, since I've been senior pastor here at Community of Grace, I've made it a practice to set up a Christmas tree in my office. Normally get it done right after Thanksgiving on that first Sunday of Advent. Dress it up, make room, set it up in my office. This year, I had something else going on that weekend, and so I just kind of forgot. But I packed it in the trunk of my car and brought it up to church anyway. But then the second week of Advent came, and I just still hadn't had time or really just attention or inclination to get it out and get it set up in my office. But I'm like, you know, it's right out there in the trunk. I could just bring it in, but I had other things to do. And the third week came around, and I didn't even think about it. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent, which was just this past Sunday, and I came into my office on Monday morning and I went, this is ridiculous. There's no point in setting this up now. It's almost Christmas Eve. And I felt the Lord speak something to me in that moment. Why not now? Why not today? So I put on some Christmas music, went over to the box that I'd brought in from my trunk and opened things up and started putting stuff together. And I had to push some stuff out of the way to make a little corner in my office where that tree goes. And I got it all set up and lit it up. And there it is. See, it's not too late. No matter where you find yourself today, it's not too late. As a matter of fact, today may be the day that Jesus shows up at your door. And maybe not the door of your house, but certainly the door of your heart. And as he comes to the door of your heart and knocks and you open it up, when all those thoughts go through your mind of, I'm not ready, you don't want to see what's in here, you need to know that God already sees you, and he sees you as you really are. And he sees the messiness of your life, and he says, I want to come in and clean it. He sees the brokenness in your life and says, let me come in and fix it. He sees the woundedness in your life. He says, let me come in and heal it. He even sees the darkness, the hidden places that we don't want anybody to see. And he says, let me come in and shine my light there. Not to judge you, not to condemn you, but to save you, to rescue you. This is a different kind of king. This is a king who will come into the mess of your life and the home of your heart and just says, let me make myself at home. Would you let Jesus make himself at home in your heart? And in your life tonight, would you take a chance? Let this king, who is unlike any other king, knock on the door, welcome him in, and let him be king and Lord in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to us. Lord, every year we come around to this time, and there are so many memories and reminders, and some of us have more Christmases behind us than lie ahead of us. But each time, Lord, there's another opportunity, another place, Lord, to welcome you, to just open up the door of our hearts and say once again, Lord, come and see me as I really am. Let me see you as you truly are. the child born in a manger into the lowest of places, who is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and sits at the right hand of the Father. Help us, Lord, to welcome you humbly into our hearts as we humble ourselves to receive you, to receive your love, to receive your forgiveness, to receive your healing, to receive you as Savior and Lord. Lord, if this is the cry of our hearts, hear that cry tonight as we remember the cries of an infant in a manger in Bethlehem. And we pray all this in his name, the name of Jesus Christ the King. Amen.